Exodus 15. Having a song to sing. Having a song to sing in every season. I titled the message this evening. If you'll follow along with me, starting in verse 1. We'll read through a portion of the chapter. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed, and the mighty men of Moab, trembling, will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall upon them by the greatness of your arm. They will be as still as a stone till your people pass over, O Lord. Till the people pass over whom you have purchased, you will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, and the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. And we just ask that you'd give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, a heart to understand and receive, give us faith. We pray that you would lead this time and minister to us according to your spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here are Moses. Here's Moses and the people of Israel on the other side of the Red Sea. Look real quick at chapter 14, verse 31. It says, thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. They just saw it. The Red Sea split open. The Red Sea consumed their enemy, Pharaoh, and the chariots and the armies of Egypt. They just seen it. And here they are on the other side of the Red Sea, and they sing this praise song together. And they're ready to sing. And they all sing it in one accord, because they've all just experienced the same thing. It was in their heart. They wanted to sing the song. It was their song. They identified, they related to the words in the song. And they sang it passionately because they wanted to. And my heart today is that we would all have a song to sing because we want to. And that our song would come out of our experience with God, our experience of what he's done for us. Amen. That we would we would have it and we'd want to participate. We would identify and relate to it. We would have a song to sing. We would have a message to proclaim. Monday night, the men started the book of 1 John. And John had a message. He had something to say. He said, "That which we have seen, which we have heard, which our hands have handled, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you." He had something to say because of what he saw, because of what he heard, and because of what he touched. Jesus. And Moses and the people of Israel, they had something to sing because of what they just saw. And oh, that we would have something to sing. We would have something to say because of our experience with God, because we've seen him, because we heard him, because we've touched him, because he revealed himself to us and worked on our behalf. Singing a song because of an experience. I want to read a couple scriptures as examples of this. In 2 Samuel 22, David had a song to sing. He had something to sing. It says, "Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." See, he had something to sing because God delivered him. For years, he was a fugitive running from the king, Saul. And years, he cried out to God, "Oh, deliver me." And then God delivered him from all of his enemies, and he wanted to sing God a song. He had it in his heart because of what had happened, because of the experience he had. And he sang a really good song, one of the better psalms he wrote. Out of experience, another psalm of David, Psalm 40. I'd like to read a couple verses to you. He said, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust the Lord." He put a new song in my mouth because he took me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock. He heard my cry and delivered me. And that put a song in my heart. I got something to sing. Oh, that we would have a song to sing based upon an experience that we've had. One more psalm as an example. Psalm 98, verse 1. "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things." That's why we sing. We sing because of what he's done, because of our experience. The problem is, if we don't sing from an experience, if it's not in our heart, we're not connected to it. It's not really our song. You see, if a stranger from another country came and met Moses and the people of Israel, they couldn't sing this song. Sure, they could learn the words and the melody and sing along, but they hadn't experienced it. They didn't see it. God didn't save them and deliver them. So they didn't have the same heart to sing this song. The Bible talks about, now there's a psalm that says, how can we sing the song of the Lord in a strange land? If you're not in the right place, you can't sing the song. You can't sing about a God you're not connected to. A God you've departed from. You gotta sing for a reason. It's gotta be in your heart. There's a scripture in Revelation that talks about the 144,000. And they sing a song to the Lord. And the Bible says no one can sing that learn that song but them. Because they go through a special experience. And they have a special song. We have to connect and have something to sing. Have something to say. Based upon our experience from God. Oh, that we had a song. And again, it doesn't have to be, we don't have to write the song. The Bible also says in Revelation that they will sing the song of Moses. See, people are going to sing maybe this very song. There's another song Moses wrote in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Maybe it's that song. But people are going to relate and identify. Look again in our text in Exodus chapter 15. Look at the first words of the song, where it's in parentheses there, or however your Bible puts the song apart. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Now, I wasn't at the Red Sea. I didn't see it open. The Egyptians weren't my enemies. But I could sing this line with him. You know why? Because I can relate and identify with the Lord triumphing gloriously. Because he's triumphed gloriously in my life, too. We can relate and identify with someone else's song, but it's got to be in our heart. It's got to be for us, too. Oh, that we would have a song to sing. Now, there's many messages out there. There's a lot of stuff we could sing about. People sing about their girlfriend or their boyfriend a lot on the radio today. There's lots of good messages, you know, don't smoke, be kind, random acts of kindness. But I'm not just saying we need to just have some kind of song, some kind of message. The Bible teaches a very specific message. And I'm talking about a very specific song that, oh, it would be my prayer we had in our heart. And that's the song of the Lamb. That's a song to Jesus. It says in verse 1, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord. There's a song that's very significant. There's a topic and a message that's very significant and real. And it transcends everything else. And oh, that we had that in our heart to sing. Not just any message, not just any song, but a song of praise and worship to the Lord. We were created to sing that song. We were created for that. And it's so right when we do it. Oh, that we had that song to sing. And it was in our heart. Notice in verse 2, the Lord is my strength and song. The Lord is my song. Isaiah said the same thing. The Lord is my strength and my song. David said the same thing. Psalms 118:14, the Lord is my strength and my song. Oh, that he would be in our heart in such a way that he is our song. We want to sing to him. It flows from us. We identify and relate. We know him. And we want to praise him and worship him. It flows because it's in our heart. The Lord is my song. Oh, that we would be in that place where we sing to him and he is our song. How do we get the song in our hearts? I want to look at a couple scriptures. And if you'd like, you can turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18. It's in the New Testament. After Galatians. After the 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Before Hebrews. It's a big one you might hit. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18. Where does the song come from? How do we get the song? Paul wrote in his letter to the Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. See where it comes from? You get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you start singing. You speak and sing to one another. You sing to the Lord. It flows from his Spirit. We receive of his Spirit. And that's where we get the song. Turn to Colossians, two books to the right. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. How do we get the song in our heart? We receive the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 16 of chapter 3 of Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This book here is God's word. Receive it. Let it dwell in you richly, and then you'll have a song to sing. It'll flow from that. Here is where it comes from. His Spirit is where it comes from. Oh, that we would have a song to sing to the Lord. If you turn back to Exodus 15, look at the song and what they sang about. And we can identify and relate how it looks to worship and praise God from our heart. First of all, you notice through the whole song, they're praising God and God alone. They don't sing praises to Moses or Miriam. They don't sing of the splendor of the Red Sea. It's all about God. It glorifies God and God alone, and that's the song we need to sing. Amen. We don't need to be singing the praises of anyone else, anything else. The song in our heart needs to be praised to Him and Him alone. Also, you just look at kind of practically, what are they singing about? They're singing about what God had done. They just seen what He did. Look at verse 1. I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider He has thrown into the sea. They're singing to him and praising Him for what He had done. Look at verse 4. Pharaoh's chariots and his army, He, the Lord, is cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. What He has done. Verse 6. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of Your excellence, You have overthrown those who rose against You. You sent forth Your wrath, it consumed them like stubble. And on they sing about what God had done. And then look at verse 13. In Your mercy, have led forth the people whom You have redeemed, and have guided them in Your strength to Your holy habitation. It wasn't just that He destroyed the army of Egypt and drowned the chariots. He also led them and redeemed them and delivered them. So they're praising and singing because of what God had done. And that's what we should sing about. That's what we should relate to and identify with. You know, we come and sing songs in church, and we sing about things God has done. And do you relate? Do you identify? Are you familiar with something God has done? Have you experienced something God has done in your life? That's where the song comes from. Again, we talked about receiving His Spirit and letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's where you learn about Him. You read the Bible and you find out things that He has done. All kinds of awesome stuff God has done. And it starts to create in you a heart of worship. Man, God has done all this stuff. I want to worship Him for it. You receive His Spirit. You have a personal experience with Him. When you're filled with the Spirit, something's going to happen. God is going to do something when He fills you with His Spirit. And that's going to be something to worship Him and praise Him for. When you give God place in your life, He does stuff. Amen. And that's what we worship Him and praise Him for. The things that He has done. Oh, that we would have a song in our heart. We would be conscious of it. What God has done. When they sang in a personal sense. They said, I will sing. For the Lord is my strength and my song. Then they sang also in a corporate sense. He has saved us. He has delivered us. And we sing in the same way. We sing about things that He has specifically done for us personally. The Lord has forgiven me of my sin. The Lord has led me to this point. The Lord has spoken to me. The Lord has been gracious. He lifted me out of the miry pit and set my feet upon the rock. And then we sing corporately. Oh, God has saved all His people. He died on the cross for the whole world. He's done many glorious and wondrous things for all of us. See, we're a member of the body. We're a stone in the building. We're a piece of the bigger picture. So we're a part of a group of believers that God has done mighty things for. So we praise Him for what He has done, just like the people on the other side of the Red Sea worshiped the first song in the Bible. They cried out and worshiped for what God had done. But there's more in this song. They didn't just sing about what God has done. They sang about who God was. Look again in the song. Look at verse 3. Notice how they sing. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. They're describing what kind of person He is. Look at verse 6. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, dashes the enemy in pieces. You're powerful, God. It's not just what you did. It's who you are. You're strong. You're big. Look at verse 7. In the greatness of Your excellence, You have overthrown those who rose against You. You're great. You're excellent. Look at verse 11. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? See, they're not just singing about what God has done. They're singing about who God is, what God is like. Verse 13, in your mercy, you're merciful, God. You have led forth the people whom you have redeemed and guided them in your strength. You're strong to your holy habitation. Who God is. And you know, that's what we should sing to God about. Oh, that we would have a song in our heart to sing to Him, because we're familiar with what He's like. You receive His Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit, you let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, you start to get to know God, and you can't help but fall in love with Him and want to worship Him and praise Him. Man, God is good. He is so loving. He is so gracious. Now I can sing Amazing Grace with that, because I see how amazing His grace really is. I identify. I relate. I see it for myself. Oh, that we would have a song and we would praise Him for who He is. Oh, God is good. God's heart is to reveal Himself to us. That's what He's trying to do. I was reading a book today and thinking about that, and how people try to mock and, hey, if God wanted to show Himself, He could do that. He hasn't. You really think of God and how He revealed Himself through the person of Jesus Christ. What better way could He reveal Himself than becoming a man and living and giving us good record of what He said and how He acted? What a genius way to reveal Himself, show Himself to us so we know what God's like. If you've seen Me, Jesus said, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. You want to know what God's like? Look into His Word. Look at Jesus. Receive His Spirit. That's Him. You'll get to know Him from the inside. Let His Word dwell in you. And you'll, man, I want to worship this Jesus, this God. He is wonderful. He's amazing. He is good. He's gracious and powerful. They sang and praised Him and worshipped Him for who He was and for what He had done. Also, the latter part of the song, verses 14 through 18, look forward. They start praising Him for what He's going to do. They said, man, you destroyed the Egyptians, you brought the Red Sea on them, you saved us, you led us this far. Then they look forward. They still had more enemies. They still had more obstacles. They still had more problems in their future. And they said, you know what? Nothing's going to stop you, God. Look at what you just did. You're going to plow through all this stuff. They're going to be afraid of you. You're going to knock down the obstacles one by one. You're going to bring us all the way to the end. And they praised Him and worshipped Him for what He's going to do. And that's what we're to praise Him and worship Him for. We get to know who He is and what He's done. And we learn of His promises. He tells us what He's going to do. And we start to believe it because we experience Him. And God, praise You that You're going to set all things right. Praise You, Lord, that You're going to, one day, You're going to take me through and present me. My dad quoted that scripture in church Sunday. Now to Him who is able to present us, I forgot it. Used to have it memorized. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. That's what He's going to do. He promises. One day He's going to present you before His Father. And you think that's going to be a scary thing, but He's going to present you faultless. How is that possible? We're not faultless. We've got lots of faults. God's going to cover them with His blood. With exceeding joy, we're going to be so happy to see God the Father. We're going to be united. It's going to be a glorious, wonderful event. So they worshiped Him and praised Him for what He was going to do. And oh, that we would do the same. We would have a heart to identify and relate with what God has done, with who God is, and what God will do. It's all worthy of our praise and worship. And oh, that it would flow from our heart. We would have it inside of us. We would have something to say. We would have something to sing. And it come from inside, flow. from our heart. See if I missed anything here. Okay, now let's pick up in verse 19 and we'll read a few more verses. For the horses of Pharaoh, this is not part of the song, this is kind of commentary on the story, went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Look at verse 20. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered and said, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." So Miriam kind of repeats a chorus in the song. She takes the first part of the song and she leads the women with timbrel and dance. And they repeat that part of the song. And you see that they sing this enthusiastically and wholeheartedly. They dance before the Lord. They use the timbrel. Now, the timbrel is not an instrument you use in a boring song. You don't yawn and use the timbrel. You don't use it in a sad song. This is a glorious, enthusiastic celebration. And this kind of spontaneously happened, and what a joyous scene. All the women, they had that, you know, ladies' part and men's part way back here in those days. But they sang enthusiastically, and it makes me think of David. And David, when they brought the Ark of the Covenant, he had the Levites carry it. He tried to do it right this time according to the law. And they brought it into the tabernacle, and he danced before the Lord with all his might, the Bible says. Enthusiastically, wholeheartedly, praising and worshiping God. And Michal, his wife, she looked down on him and chided him for it. "Making a fool of yourself, the young women." And he said, I danced before the Lord. And he said, "And I will be even more undignified than this and be humble in my own eyes." So I'm not worried about looking cool. I'm going to continue to worship the Lord no matter how it looks, wholeheartedly, radically, passionately, from my heart to Him. I ain't dancing for the young women or for the people. I'm dancing for God. And oh, that we would have a song in our heart. We would sing God, sing to God, praise Him and worship Him for what He has done, for who He is, for what He's going to do. And we would do it from our heart passionately, enthusiastically. We would, with all our might, with all our heart. We don't have to be loud or bring attention. But from the inside, when God sees us, He knows. We may get it. We have the song in our heart. We know what God's like. We've learned. We know He's good. Sure. We know that He's done many things. We know He's done things for us. We really do believe what He's going to do is true. And yet, we kind of don't praise Him and worship Him with much emphasis. Kind of just routine. But they didn't do that. And they danced with their whole hearts. They gave their whole self into it and worshiped and praised the Lord enthusiastically. Oh, that we would really give God worship that's becoming of Him. Think about it. We come and we sing. And I'm not just talking about singing songs either. I think when the Bible talks about a song, "You put a new song in my heart," it's not just talking about a melody. It's talking about, you know, you've got something. It's kind of describes something in your heart that's flowing out. You know, sometimes when you're happy, you just want to sing a song. It's not just singing a song. It's overflowing in your life, your worship and your praise to the Lord. It's the message that's in your heart that you want to worship and praise God. Oh, that we would realize how good He is and how great the things He's done are and how great the things He's going to do are. And we would worship Him enthusiastically and passionately and in a right way. Jesus said to the woman at the well, "The hour is coming when the true worshiper will worship in spirit and in truth." He said the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God wants people to worship Him and worship Him well. He's looking for that. Oh, that we would do that. He would find us Not just, yeah, God's good, sure. Thank you for this food again. But we would, oh God, thank you so much. Praise you. Worship you. Okay, we got 8:30. Let's try to finish the chapter. We just got a little bit more here. I entitled the message, Having a Song to Sing in Every Season. Look at verse 22. What happens right after this time of worship and praise? So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. Marah means bitter. And the people complained against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them, and said, If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now he brought them from that experience where they wanted to sing, and the Lord led them to a place where there was no water. And he led them to a place where the water was bitter and they could not drink it. At this point, they didn't want to sing anymore. They didn't feel like it. But you know, the Bible teaches us that we're to worship him and praise him at all times, in all experiences, in all seasons. And the Lord was going to try to begin to teach these people, his faithfulness in the joyous times and in the times of the bitter times, the dry times, because he wanted that worship in all seasons. So he was going to test them by bringing them into dry seasons, bitter seasons, and then providing and bringing them through those seasons so that the next time the bitter and dry season came, they would know. It didn't work real good. They kept complaining, as we do oftentimes. They complained, and it was normal. Wouldn't you complain if you didn't have anything to drink for 3 days? And it says, he set them up. He led them to the place, and it says they could not drink the water, for it was bitter. What are they going to do? Well, they complained. And Moses cried out to the Lord. See, that's what they should have done. And the Lord revealed the answer. He showed him a tree to cast in the water. Interesting, a tree. I believe it representing the cross of Christ. You know, the bitterness in life. Life can be dry in seasons. Life can be bitter. And we can get to places where we can't do it. It's too bitter. It's too dry. It's too hard. It hurts too much. We can't make it. And God reveals what he did. Can make the bitter sweet. He can fix it. He can meet us where we're at in a dry and bitter season. And he can bring us through and make it sweet. He can provide for us. And we see this, and he's showing us. He led them to a place that was bitter and dry. He led them there. And so many times, why am I here? God must not be in control. But he is. And he leads us to places and times and seasons that are difficult and dry and bitter because he wants to test and teach us. He says, I will be to you the Lord who heals. Jesus said in Luke, he says, the whole have no need of a physician, but the sick. If we don't understand the sick problems and bitterness, we don't appreciate the healing. He allows us to see the consequences of sin on this fallen planet. He allows us to taste it. And he allows us to come to the point where we can't drink the water so that he can show us that he can make the bitter water sweet. No one else can. What the cross accomplishes, nothing else can. What Jesus did, no one else can do. And sometimes, for us to really understand that and learn that, we have to go through some dry and bitter seasons to understand it better. And he allows that and leads that. But he wants to bring healing and sweetness and bring us through. Add the tree. There's answers in every season, making the bitter sweet. The Lord who heals. Interesting, he promises, if you keep my statutes and my ordinances, my commandments, I will not put the diseases that I put on the Egyptians. Now, much of the law was given, a portion of the law, as health guidelines, sanitation, to keep them from diseases, washings and eating certain foods, to keep them from diseases, to keep them healthy from experiencing the diseases. And that was part of the promise. But I was thinking about this. You know, God's ways are health. What are the best things in the world for our health? Forgiving people. Scientists and doctors are starting to learn that. When you forgive someone, the endorphins released in your body heal your body. Really. And when you don't, they destroy your body. God's ways are health. You know, the guidelines God gives sexually are for our health. They keep us safe. If you practice abstinence and you remain faithful to your partner for life, that's health. That's good. And then you think about not just physical health, and his ways bring physical health, but emotional and mental. He brings peace. Trust me. Trust me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You know, that brings mental health, if you can do it. Faith and belief. Confess your sins. That brings health. Guilt and shame will destroy you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. God's way is health. He says, if you keep my ways, my statutes, my ordinances, I will be to you the Lord who heals. You think, well, Christians get sick and have anxiety and problems. Yes, we do. And God doesn't always heal everybody all the way, completely, right away. His ways are different. His plan's different for everyone. But I see, you know, just as he led them to a place where the water was bitter, there'll be seasons in our lives where we're struggling with something physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and we're sick and we need help. And God wants to help us there. He wants to bring us through. He has a plan there. He wants to add his answer and do it his way. And he can make it right his way. The world has a way and he has a way. Different at different times, different people. So, see if there's anything I missed. We are sick. We all are sick in one way or another. God's the Lord who heals. We need his help and he's there to help us. Yes, we didn't read the rest of the chapter. Verse 27. Then they came after that season. They came to Elim, where there was where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. So they brought them. He brought them to an oasis. First, he led them to a dry and bitter place, and then he taught them a lesson. He made the bitter sweet. Then he led them to an oasis. There was 12 wells and 70 palm trees. I was intrigued by the number. There was a well for each tribe. There was the right amount. And God's ways are intentional. His provision is the right amount. 70 palm trees. Later on, we'll see that the Lord tells Moses to ordain 70 elders. And that's not the only other place. The number 70 is a very significant number in Scripture. You can look it up. But the numbers were on purpose. He had a well for each tribe. He had a tree for each group. The provision was intentional in the right amount. So when God leads us to dry places and bitter seasons, it's to test us and teach us for a purpose. Then when God gives us provision and blesses us in seasons of abundance and provision, they're the right amount for the right purpose and right reason. God has a reason for everything. And everything is just right in his way of doing things. So, having a song to sing in every season, learning of what God has done, who God is and what God will do, and Him stirring in our hearts worship and praise from that, so that we want to sing, we want to praise Him and worship, that we would be filled with the Spirit, and then we'll sing, that we would let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, and we want to sing, we want to speak and proclaim it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We look to You, Lord, and we recognize we fall short. We don't give You the praise and worship You deserve. Far from it, not even close. But we want to worship You. We want to worship You well. We want to praise You and worship You from our heart, passionately, wholeheartedly, with all our might, in the songs that we sing and the lives that we live. Lord, be gracious to us. Be merciful to us. Fill us with Your Spirit. Open our eyes to who You are, so that we'll love You more and worship You from our hearts. Strengthen our faith in what You will do, so we'll praise You for it and trust You in it. Bring to our remembrance all that You have done, so that we'll praise You for it and worship You for it. Help us in the dry and bitter times, Lord, not to complain, but to cry to You, to learn, to hear, to trust. Heal us, Lord. Help us and heal us where we're sick and where we need help. Provide for us in Your perfect timing and in Your perfect way. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.